Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back. And to make Joe super, super sad, Chris Noble is gone. The rap god. Rest in peace. I don't get it. So this episode was so much fun, but once Dom plays his idol, why is Chris not playing his idol? Like, even if he thinks everybody's going to split and vote for Wendell, like, you're assuming that it's a 5-5-2 split. You don't have a vote, so you actually have no idea that the other – you're literally relying on 10 other people to do exactly what you told them to do. You're not even putting your imprint on that. Your arch nemesis plays his idol, and you say, nah, I'm going to hold mine. Play your idol and then make sure that Wendell goes home. It actually ended up being a curse for him that he did do the stupid 50-50 thing and ended up taking the extra day. Otherwise, he would have had to play it tonight, and Libby would be gone, and it would totally make sense that she went home here.
Well, that's what's so absurd. The fact that this was one of the most free given idols I've ever seen before. I mean, he lucked out with just getting the buff that had a clue in the inside of the buff, which we had complained about Jessica getting that advantage / disadvantage in Heroes or Sealers or Hustlers last season. This time Chris got a straight up advantage, gets whisked off to Ghost Island in the middle of the night, which we need to talk about the logistics behind that, because that just sounds like, I don't know how anyone pulled that off, both production and Chris. But he gets a free idol. It wasn't even a clue. It was just a hint that, like, hey, this limo is going to come pick you up and give you free things. And then he gets this idol, which, if I'm in his position, like, you got to play the game, because no matter what, he still gets the idol. But for him to not even play this thing that was just given to him, when this whole entire season has been culminating in these two massive high school football players going against each other, you got to play that thing. And especially, like you said, especially after Dom plays that legacy advantage after hanging the most lame shell you've ever seen off of his neck, Chris is calling him out for it being a fake idol, and he still doesn't do anything about it. That requires a lot of delusional trust in a group of 10 people, probably three of which you've never been spoken to before. Which, I mean, that just shows kind of the disconnect that we've been seeing on the Chris.
And who voted on Chris for Libby? Who voted for Libby? It was definitely Angela. Who was the other?
Were there two? There were only two Libby votes.
Yeah, it was Angela and Dez.
It was Angela and Dez. I was trying to catch Angela them all at the same time. So Angela and Dez on the outside. They got hit too, which makes sense. I mean, actually, the whole Angela and Chris relationship, which I was kind of expecting to be explored a little bit more, we didn't see any part of that. And Chris kind of alluded to Angela getting screwed over at the Morgan boot, but Angela ends up not even voting with Chris.
Yeah, so we'll talk about this one here. I have a couple things I want to say just about the continuation from episode to episode of this season right now. But like you just said, with the Angela and Chris thing, that relationship never got explored. And then Angela ends up voting with the girls of Naviti. Or think she's voting with the girls in the media. I bet Dez did it just in case somebody did vote for Wendell to make sure that it would be Libby who went before Wendell, because I think that they wanted Libby to go home if they had the shot. But I think they leveled it on Chris because everybody knew Chris was going home tonight. This was something Wendell and Dom had talked about and knew was going to happen. And as much as Dom goes up there and says, you know, Chris Noble, I'm voting you, like whatever it was, he was that cocky because he knew every single person was voting with him. Like they had definitely sat down and did this. Like
Chris got eight or nine votes at him.
Yeah, and you have to remember, like Donathan literally went up to Dominic after and said, "Hey, let's do this." Like that was Donathan going to Dominic. That wasn't Dominic having to be like, "Donathan, what went on over there?" That was Donathan just being like, "Dude, this is what Chris is trying to pull."
Didn't have to do anything.
They didn't have to do anything. I mean, you could tell that they were annoyed. This was definitely more personal for the two of them because it's the whole alpha male thing. Like the egos are just insane.
Oh my God. This episode was just
chock full.
It was childish.
And you look at the immunity challenge and the last three people are Libby, Kellen, and Chelsea, like the three quietest people. I mean, Kellen's not very quiet, but Kellen's also like very mild mannered. You have these three people who are out there like playing their game. And then you have these three knuckleheads right now. And I don't really want to lump Wendell in there with the other two. But you have these three people who are making it so personal.
I want a Chelsea Libby showdown next week. That is what
I
want.
Right. That's what we all want. That's what we need. But it would have made sense for Libby to go home tonight based on what we've seen of her, because it's like she keeps being talked about, this poverty 2.0. And tonight she barely gets anything. She gets a little bit of screen time. It would have made sense for her to go home, getting the two big guys to idle each other out. And then there goes Libby out the door. I really thought
Libby got the kiss of death confessional too.
She did. She literally said, it's really nice to know I'm going to be safe tonight.
Yeah, feels great to be safe tonight. I mean, that is a, like, she might as well have gone home after she had that confession.
Well, it was funny that right after that, they literally went right to the four girls talking about voting out Libby, which honestly, at this point, I know that the Chris and Dom thing is obnoxious because neither one is actually letting you play the game. Like, it's impacting the game too much because they're so blinded. But I say, screw it. Let them keep being blinded, because as long as they're looking at each other, they're not looking at you. And if Dom really wants to get rid of Chris that bad and Chris really wants to get rid of Dom that bad, that means they're not looking at you guys. So why not let them keep fighting it out and vote out an actual threat to win the game like Libby? And yeah, I know from an editing perspective, we're not sitting here saying Libby's going to win the game. But out there on the island, I bet you people are saying Libby could win the game, very much like how Sunday could have won the game if she made it to the end of Millennials vs. Gen X. Just because the edit isn't huge doesn't mean you can't win. Why not get rid of Libby in a situation like tonight and say, let Chris and Dominic keep battling it out for week after week while you guys actually go behind the scenes and make it happen?
I'm actually surprised, because it definitely had a lot to do with her edit and that confessional and that conversation right after with all those Navidi girls, especially considering how we've seen these Navidis vote together before. And that group specifically, it was like Kellen, Dez, Angela, and Chelsea. Like they have voted all about Navidi strong, but that was probably a result of no one else even could try to play the game, because all everyone could focus on was these two. And I think, we'll talk about Wendell's voting confessional, which was probably one of the best voting confessionals I've ever seen. There must have been a level of Chris that people just could not handle. And I think that hit its breaking point. I mean, Wendell's voting confessional was, first of all, like, very long. We got
like a minute and a half.
He kept like pausing, and like I would have loved to know how that actually went with the cameras. Like, if he was like, "You're trash," and then he's like, no, but not you. Just like, "You're rapping,
yeah,
is trash. Never do that again." Like, kept going with it. I mean, that confessional was longer than, four people tonight didn't get confessionals. If I kept track correctly, like, mm-hmm. There was really only a specific group of people that got confessionals. Wendell, I feel like that his confessionals took up the majority of the episode, and he had a great episode tonight.
Who had a great episode? Sorry, I lost you for a second.
Sorry,
I was trying to load another page. And
that was Wendell. He had a really good episode tonight.
Wendell had a very good episode.
Huge narrator throughout this.
Yeah, and you look at like what Wendell was doing here. Wendell was playing the middleman, and he gets that confessional at the end, and it's a super long confessional, but it's a confessional that's like, hey, I'm annoyed with you, but I'm annoyed with you because of this. This wasn't the Crystal Cox like screaming at the top of her lungs. Like, this was just, "You're trash, stop rapping," whatever. Like, this was like not personal at all. And what I actually found very
goofy.
It was just goofy, exactly. And this like lines up well for Wendell, somebody who he's staying out of that spotlight. And tonight was probably annoying for him because he was like associated with Dom to an extent where Chris was trying to get the vote split on the two of them. I mean, we have to talk a lot about what Chris did tonight, because honestly, Chris is not socially all there, clearly, in terms of his social game on the island. He's not all there. He doesn't get how other people are viewing him. But if you look at some of the moves Chris made tonight, he made some really good moves, or at least aggressive moves where you're saying, "Oh my God, like, he's going for it here."
He shot his shot.
And he should still be in the game. He screwed himself. He voted himself out.
That's the thing. I mean, to me, the idol was like the biggest thing. But even the like him dragging 10 people to the well, I was like, "Eesh, that's like not the greatest move." But I mean, you got to go for it. Like, the whole thing was that it was these two guys. And I know for the past couple seasons, it's been like, "Oh, it's going to be the Libby who goes home. It's going to be the Kellen who goes home. It's going to be Chelsea who goes home." But this one actually culminated in one of these two giants going home. And you know, Chris put himself out there, and the idol was pure luck. And I'm, you know, I got to give that to him, but he took that idol and he kept playing the game. I mean, in the moment, I before he read the actual like instructions for that idol, I was going to say, don't play any sort of game. You have an idol, get the heck out of there. Like, just go back to your camp at whatever hour of the morning it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, he went for it. Like, you got to give him that.
No, and the thing is, in that situation, if you have an idol for one vote, you're obviously just going to keep playing the game and hope that you get the idol for longer. You don't. There's 13 people left in the game. It really comes down to your vote should not be the deciding factor. It was a 10-2 vote tonight.
Yeah,
I mean, it didn't matter if Chris voted or not. But what ended up hurting Chris, I think, is because he didn't vote, he couldn't actually say, guys, I'm voting for Dom or I'm voting for Wendell. And I think that ended up hurting him because I think that him pulling everybody aside to the water was an insanely bold move. And I mean, I like it, whatever. I mean, that's his personality. That's the game he wants to play. You want to rub it in Wendell and Dom's face and make them paranoid? Go and do that because that's going to work. But what I think is interesting about what he did there is he said, is everybody on board for this? And everybody was like, yeah, that's kind of good. That's kind of good. But they didn't actually discuss a voting plan. They didn't say the five girls vote for Dom and the five guys. Well, that's what I'm saying. So because that wasn't discussed, I don't think that he actually ever got an opportunity where he sat with every single person and said, okay, who am I voting for? Am I voting for Wendell? How many are we putting on Wendell? How many are we putting on Dom? Because maybe we'll hear about it next interviews, but I just don't think that very important part went through. And that's why I don't think he realized that he actually had nobody on his side. Because if you go and ask two people who is voting for Dom and who is voting for Wendell, I bet you'd get different answers because I bet you not everybody had completely discussed it and people would have gotten misinformation. And Chris would have been able to go back and say, wow, I really need to play this idol because nobody's actually on my side. But by not having a vote, it hurt him.
Well, I think him not having a vote absolutely hurt him. But I mean, the two people who didn't vote for Chris, there may have been more, but those two I wrote down, two people who didn't vote for Chris, they weren't even on like hashtag Team Dom. They were on Team Navidi. They weren't even like playing either side. So that's why I thought that was going to be the deciding factor. Like the two or the handful of people who actually weren't getting involved in this battle, I thought that was going to come into fruition. I assumed Libby was going to go home. But also along with that, like you said, Chris didn't have these one-on-one conversations. Either he didn't have them or they meant nothing, so they weren't shown to us. But in the first cut that we see after this 11-person conversation happens, is Donathan running over Dom and he's like, hey, can we get rid of Chris? And Dom is like, sure, I did nothing. Like, this is amazing. This is wonderful. So I think that just like encapsulates, and that's Donathan, who we saw having like some kind of personal relationship with Chris. So I think that just kind of encapsulates the entire relationship that everybody had with him.
Yeah. I mean, I think that Chris is somebody who's very hard to edit on the show because he's absolute TV gold, but are we getting the real Chris or not? How much of this was Chris playing it up? How much of this did we not see? How annoying was he being to them? How good of a guy is he in real life? Maybe he is. Like, I don't know. Maybe he wasn't even that bad on the island, but the rapping people just couldn't take. I mean, there had to have been something. But
it was all the rapping. They brought him back because of the rapping.
Well, honestly, you know that would drive you nuts. It's almost like if somebody keeps telling the same joke over and over again, you're like, ah, okay, that's not funny anymore. That's not funny. That's not funny. And you're just like, okay, please stop talking. Eventually that happens. And so what I thought was interesting, though, is it was all Dom versus Chris. We never really saw anybody other than Dom and Wendell talk very negatively about Chris. Everybody else seemed to, like, at least they showed a little bit more of a human side of Chris. Yeah. And that's why, for me, like, to see it end up this where it's a 10-2 vote, Chris had to be sitting there saying to himself, this is going to be 5-5 and the two votes are coming my way. He had to be super confident that it was an even split 5-5 to not play his idol tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Had to be.
I think, oh man, I just totally lost my train of thought on this. I'll keep going.
I'll say this while you're thinking. Another thing that really hurt Chris tonight, never been to tribal council. Did I beat you to it? Because by not going to tribal council, he never had the authentic paranoia of sitting down at tribal council and being like, ooh, I could go home tonight. So because he never went, I don't think he actually could get a read on anybody else who was sitting around him. because he'd never had to yet. So this was so brand new to him that it was like, oh, maybe I don't have to play my idol. He'd never actually sat through a tribal and felt heat. Like, if that's Bradley, Bradley's already almost been voted out once. If Bradley has that idol, Bradley's going to play that idol if he sees Dom play the idol, because he almost got voted out once. Chris never had that, so I don't think he understood.
I forget who that was exactly what I was thinking of. I forget who Chris was talking to tonight, but it might have been to Dom or to Wendell, but he was like, I had like two plans to get rid of Dom, but then I went to Ghost Island. All of these like were plans, and this is no one's fault. It's not Chris's fault, because it's not his fault. He's good at challenges, but he like you said, he never had the paranoia. He never had to play that strategic game where it was actually, okay, I have 10 minutes to convince someone to go my way or another way. I hope I don't have to go run off and do a confessional real quick. That I feel like that's something that as fans, we really underestimate, like the necessity of actually going to tribal council and forging those real bonds and making sure that you really don't vote each other out. Like, it's one thing to say it in theory, but it's another thing to actually do it. So I think to him, that was a disadvantage. Again, that's absolutely no one's fault. It's not his fault, but I think that put him at a huge disadvantage. And this is not the first time that we've seen this. I mean, this happened with Nick and Ko Rong. This has happened before.
Yeah, and that's what I want to say for everybody who says Michelle's not a deserving winner because she didn't have to do anything pre-merge. These people who don't go to tribal council pre-merge normally get voted out at the merge. So for Michelle to get all the way to the end and win the thing, I mean, that speaks volumes. If you look up those stats, I'm sure somebody could do it. People who don't go to a single tribal council before the merge and then go to the merge, I bet you there's more people who are voted out first boot of the merge than won the game. So Michelle really is probably the
didn't work the great, out very well for Cole.
Didn't work out very well for Cole. Didn't work out very well for, like you just said, Nick.
Nick.
I'm just saying. See, so there's already two didn't go to a tribal council before the merge. What?
Think of the math right there. I mean, two whole people.
It's already two, and I'm pretty sure Michelle's the only one who won without going to
one. How many people played Survivor? Like 500 people?
Yeah, and Michelle's the only one, so really, she's done one of a kind. But anyway,
there you go. But that's neither here nor there.
That's neither here nor there. I just had to get that in.
Why don't we talk about this immunity challenge? We'll go to Twitter comments later, but someone asked how well we would have done. I'm going to put this out there. I've started doing this new workout. I'm gonna do a quick little sponsored plug right here. It's called like the Kayla workout, and it's 3 days a week, and it's like one's lower body, one's upper body, one's full body. I did the like arms and upper body one the other day. I have negative upper arm strength. Like, I owe upper arm strength to myself, and I don't have it. I would maybe last 30 seconds on that. I have a tiny head. Like, my head is not very big, so I couldn't even balance it on my head that long. I
have a gigantic,
huge head.
I do. I have a humongous head. So because of how big my head is, I think I could balance the thing for a while. I have a little bit of upper body strength. The thing is, I can't balance. I remember I had to do a thing at Miami.
It's all about the feet.
Well, they wanted to concussion test you, so they had you stand on like that rubber ball thing to see like how well you could balance, so that, you know, if you ever got a concussion, they could test you afterwards. And like,
see, I would assume to have a concussion because I'd fall off that.
I couldn't stand on the rubber thing long enough for them to actually get a reading. So they were just like, they had to like do something else. I don't remember what they did, but
you
stood there.
17 concussions.
It was really bad.
I mean, this one I liked because it was part upper arm strength and it was also the whole balance thing. And that final three was Chelsea, Libby, and Kellen. I don't know how tall everybody is, but I feel like in general, this is a vast generalization here. If you're tall, you generally have pretty big feet. Like, I'm 5'8". I feel like my feet are fairly large. If a lot of guys don't do well on these balance challenges because their feet are so big and it's just so much easier for them to fall off. I saw Laurel fall off and she seems very tall. And I was thinking that too. Like, that would be a huge issue for me or for anyone who was very tall. Phil, you kind of just, your screen just went up quite a bit. There you go.
Yeah.
I think like having smaller feet and kind of being a little, just overall a little bit smaller definitely helps you in this challenge, you're holding massive pole.
Yeah, I think you're right, but I think that this is Survivor's way of trying to even the playing field where, okay, they do so many of these things where it's like smaller feet win. How can we make it so that it's a little bit more level for the people who are also big? Mm-hmm. And I think by holding the pole, you're creating a little bit of a level playing field.
Now, yeah, I'm glad they did that.
If you look at the final six here, I could be wrong on this, but Chris lasted a while, Wendell lasted a while, and Dominic lasted a while. So I think that this did do a good job of evening it out. You just have, like, I mean, what, Chelsea's a professional cheerleader, so I'm sure that there's some gymnastics.
She's got balance.
There's some gymnastics in her past, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Libby, I don't know. She's small, so that could be it. And Kellen, I don't know what the hell. Kellen was pulling the tie when he was just standing there, like, screaming in agony that one challenge they ended up winning. That's what Kellen was pulling here. It was just a pure determination thing. Like, there was no way she was going to lose.
Yeah, so the facial expression between Kellen and Libby when they were the final two is hilarious, because Libby was just, like, just hanging, and Kellen was making, like, these, like, crazy, very pained faces, and I was like, this is a great representation of how these two are playing the game overall. There's a lot going on with Kellen, and with Libby, she's just hanging out.
Libby never looks flustered. Even tonight when she Libby's got the two votes, like, she looked mad for, like, a split second, but then it, like, went away.
She, like, kind of laughed at it. I was like, wow, I wish I could be that chill if I ever got two votes thrown my way. I would probably black out.
Yeah, you would pull the Lex for sure. Lex would be headhunting after that. She's got real self-control over here.
Who voted for me?
Yeah, exactly. And it would be – that's what it sounds like when she's angry.
That's my mad voice.
Here's one thing I want to talk about, though, because while we're talking about Kellen and before we talk about the Ghost Island trip and all that, I mean, we're almost at a half hour already. And my God, we haven't even touched on that. But I just want to talk about this real quick, because this is something that's kind of happened recently, and it leaves a little bit of a bad taste in my mouth. So let's talk about this pre-merge real quick. Huge characters go all pre-merge. Stephanie Johnson, fan favorite. Brendan, fan favorite. Bradley was a good villain. Like, all these people that we really got to know. Bradley goes home after decimating our favorites. Never gets brought up in this episode.
Yes, I was going to talk about that.
That bothered me, because Kellen goes on to win immunity. And to have Kellen talk about Bradley not being there just for a second, to be like, oh my God, I lost my closest ally. I can't believe Bradley's gone. What does that mean for me with this Navidi? Can I trust Dom? Can I trust Chris? I don't know, but I got to win immunity. She goes and wins immunity. That is so much more compelling than, like, Kellen just starting off, because Kellen gets the first confessional of the episode anyway. So why not have it be about realizing Bradley wasn't there, or having her say, man, I was really looking forward to Bradley being here, and now he's not there. I couldn't believe that he wasn't there. A little something about Bradley to give the man credit for doing what he did in the pre-merge, and to express how this could affect Kellen's game moving down, because the two of them were so tight. So, like, why was that not addressed at all? It seems like such a big part of the game was just tossed in the trash, and then they don't even acknowledge that, like, Dom, as he's saying now, threw a challenge to get rid of one of the biggest players in the game, and now that's just all forgotten. Like, why even bother?
I think there's two bits of reasoning for that. One is the first, like, 5 to 10 minutes of this episode, probably just the first 5 minutes, were very rushed, and this always happens when there's a merge or some kind of swap. I mean, we went into the boats, like, the we got, like, the intro card. We went into the boats and they went to the Navidi camp. Also, it would have been hilarious if they went to the Malolo camp, but I think them going to the Navidi camp is the correct move. But I think it was a little bit of that. Like, they just immediately merged. Like, we see them eating a sandwich. Like, Dom touches a sandwich and then we move on. I think they really had to set up this story, even though I think, like, they really could have given some people more attention. But they really wanted to make this the entire story of the episode. But also, on top of that, I think it says something that it wasn't brought up, that there wasn't as massive of a concern as like we had in our predictions assumed that there would be. Because I remember, like, when we were talking, I put Dominic pretty high. I put him up at number three. I forget where you put him. But I remember there was concern of, like, oh, how is Dominic going to convey this to, like, Kellen and Dez? How is Chelsea going to convey this to them? And whether or not there'd be, like, anger or fear on Kellen's side, there must have not been an absurd concern, or Dominic or Kellen must have understood enough that it wasn't that big of a deal.
Yeah, I'm just kind of surprised that for if you look at that alliance that actually got rid of, you know, Brent, even if Michael has a confessional tonight where Michael says, hey, and then I see that Bradley's not there, the man who took out my entire alliance. Like, it just feels like if you look at former seasons, pretty much every single season before this one, the person who goes right before the merge, at least you go to their camp and say, okay, now what are we going to do? Or how did this affect that tribe? Blah, blah, blah. There's so many things you can do. to, and it's not like Bradley went and it was his first tribal council. This wasn't Eve going home back in Nicaragua. There's your name drop for the night. It wasn't her going home.
Nicaragua name drop of the night.
Where it's like, who the hell is Eve? Like, we've watched her for six episodes and I still don't know who she is. This was somebody who got rid of your favorites. He was a huge role on this season. So to not address it at all, not have Michael address it, have Kellen address it, have Dez address it, have Dominic even say like, hey, I got rid of Bradley and now I have, and now I'm back to Chris. Like, of course, at least I made the merge, but my God, to not have anything just felt weird because it almost felt like everything that happened before this moment literally meant nothing except for Chris and Dominic being at each other's throats. That's what it felt like to me tonight.
I think it boils down to the time, this like the pacing and the timing of the episode. And I really think this Dom and Chris thing just really needed to end tonight. Because it was just so dominant to everybody. Like, I think every single person who walked onto this, like, walked into this episode, like, I think about someone like Michael, who actually had never even played with Dom and Chris up until tonight. And I feel like he walked in knowing this was going to be a Dom versus Chris kind of episode.
Yeah.
Or not episode. I mean, he didn't walk in knowing
it was going to be an
episode. But you know what I mean.
Yeah, he didn't know he was going to bring up. But that's the other thing, too. That's what makes this Chris thing even more insane. Chris didn't play with half the people who were out there. I mean, there's people on this island that Chris didn't play with, and he's just like, I'll blindly trust you guys when I don't even have a vote to throw out there.
Yeah.
There's no way any of you could ever flip on me and I should ever play this idol. Like, that's what made this even crazier.
I think it was when Kellen won immunity. Like, they kind of made a whole thing about, like, oh, wow, like, Chris is cheering for Kellen. Chris is super pumped about Kellen. And they haven't played together since day three. And it's, what was it, day 22 or 23 he went home? Which, like, maybe they had a fantastic relationship in those first 2.5 to 3 days together.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, this always happens at the merge, but that's another level of just trust, I guess.
Yeah, it's just weird. What else do we have here? We have
let's talk about this Ghost Island thing because I watched that whole thing go down, and I think I've made a pretty vocal. I've been pretty vocal about like really really enjoying watching Chris. And this is kind of reminds me of the Debbie exile yacht situation in Game Changers.
Mm-hmm.
He lucked out. He picked the right buff and got a hidden immunity idol. How do you feel about that?
They've done this in the past. I don't love
an
it.
Idol?
Yeah, they have. They have.
Who? It's not coming to me. Like a straight up idol.
I think that there is. Somebody will probably show. I know that there was something in a recent season. I think it was before you and me started doing this. It was me and Will. Where me and Will were both just like, they literally handed that person. Like, I think they sat down at like the right placement and in their napkin was like an advantage or an idol or something. The thing with this is to send him to Ghost Island, that makes it kind of interesting because it puts a lot of pressure on him, but it also puts a lot of pressure on production. You can't send in a whole crew. You can only send in like this one little boat to take him out there. You got to get him back like within a certain amount of time, whatever it's going to be. But like, I don't like that it was random. I do understand that they wanted this to happen as soon as, like, at this point. They needed this to come into play. They wanted somebody to find this and do it. I just wish there would have been a little bit more that had to go into it than just pulling out the right buff.
I wish there had been more into going to Ghost Island. Like, you said that Chris had a lot of pressure on him. I think Chris had no pressure on him. He walked on and found an idol. He was given an idol. If he had to play that 50-50 game to get the idol, totally fine with it. But for him to have a random idol given him, I think that's ridiculous.
I think it has happened in the past before. I mean, I don't love it.
Then I didn't like it.
Yeah, I think that what they had to do, I think that really what they really have to do is they need to come up with a better way than just like a random, like, oh, you have a 1 in 13 shot to sit down at the right placing. And obviously it works out because it goes to Chris, but you know, I don't necessarily like that. I do think the going to Ghost Island thing was very interesting though, because you have to get this guy to like pull himself away. And I mean, people are always awake. I feel like people are awake a lot at night. And if anybody notices that Chris
how is the logistics of this? Like, how did this happen?
Well, he probably got up. If anybody knows, they just assumed he was going to the bathroom or something.
Yeah, but like did he have to wake up at a certain time? If he didn't wake up? Did they throw a rock at him? I have many questions.
There was definitely something where it was like, between this window, you're going to have something. Or a cameraman gives a thumbs up. Like, I don't know what the hell happens. But there had to be something that got him to go down to this part of the beach, gets on there and goes to Ghost Island. And I think this was okay. I mean, this was probably the most exciting thing we've seen at Ghost Island by far. Like, whatever. And it looked cool. Which is always
creepy. I would be flipping out if I had to go there.
Yeah, I mean, that was cool. So, I mean, I was all in for that.
I was all in for that, but I am very, very, very against him straight up getting an idol. I if he got the idol and then had the option to wager it, and like when he went through each of those steps, like for him to potentially lose it, I'd be a little more okay with it, but he would still have the ability to leave and still straight up get an idol. I just have a real problem with him lucking out and being given an idol.
Yeah, and I feel you on that. I mean, I don't know if he definitely should have gotten, like, I don't think it should have definitely been an idol, but the way that this game is going at this point, I mean, that, like, that's just the crap that happens. I mean, I hope it doesn't continue to happen, and if it had to go to anybody who was going to mess it up, it was Chris, and it made for a really dramatic episode, because Libby, you are living on the edge right now. I mean, that's 2 weeks in a row that it realistically 3.0. Seriously, I mean, she should have gone home twice now, and she's still hanging in there. You know, so good for her, but yeah, I don't know with this. I don't like that it was an idol either. I really don't, but I do think that it created some drama. I think that if they did this
again, they wanted the drama.
I guess what they wanted is, if you say to the person, if you go to Ghost Island, you have a chance to get an idol, but you like it's like all luck. I think it's more difficult to get the person to like wake up in the middle of the night and possibly disturb somebody and get the suspicion around them. Whereas if you say you definitely found an immunity idol, it just depends on how powerful it is. I think that's different, because really this is just a glorified legacy advantage. I mean, it's not as powerful as a regular idol because you only have one or two or three or four times to play it. You don't actually have the full amount. It's not like Wendell's idol or Michael's idol or Dom's idol.
Right.
I kind of like that they're putting longevity on the idols. And I hope they continue to do that in the future. I wouldn't mind if they did that for every idol, where it was like, you found this idol on day 6, you can only play it till day 15 or something like that. I wouldn't mind if they did that, because then you don't get the Suri Field situation.
Yeah, I mean, when did Troyzan find his idol versus playing his idol? I mean, he found it
when he was on the Green Tribe the first day he got there, and then the next thing you know, he didn't play it till Final 6.
Yeah, exactly. I actually like that idea. Like, you get an idol, you have 5 tribals to use it, or you have 2 tribals to use it, and if you don't go to tribal for those next 2 immunity challenges, you have to give it to someone on the other tribe. Like, having an expiration date on them, I think I'd really like, because I'm very against, like, 50 plus idol seasons, and that would force people to play their hands immediately. And like you said, it would avoid an advantage get in situation.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think
this is it. We solved all the problems.
I just think that there just has to be a way that they can do it and make it fair for everybody. Cause like, to have Chris just be like, oh, I was feeling around in my buff and I noticed that it felt a little different. It's like, okay. Like, that's fun.
I also would have put that on and it would have just like fallen on. Like, it's very impressive, like how long it stayed on for however long it did.
I know, right? Like, I don't know. But yeah. I agree with you. I don't think it's the best thing they could have done, but I guess for the time being, we just kind of have to take it and smile. So what are you going to do?
Yeah. I really hope in his exit interviews, he goes, I don't think he will, but I'm so curious about the logistics of how he snuck out, how they contacted him, how he got to Ghost Island. I know that's not like a big fan thing, but I don't know. I think that's super interesting. I'm really curious how they.
No, I agree with you. I think that's really interesting. I mean, I think that there's people want to know how does he pull this off? How does he get out of there? How does that end up happening? And then,
yeah, you know, I hope and am just going to assume until I'm told otherwise that a cameraman was just like chucking rocks at him, like hoping he would wake up. But he was also sleeping with everybody. Like, he was in the middle of the pack too.
I like that he didn't even try to go on the outside of that. Like, he's right in the middle. No. And that, honestly, that might be why he felt comfortable too. They always say it's your alliance is who you're sleeping with. And maybe he's sleeping there in the middle thinking like, oh, I'm the middle man here. Everybody likes me. Like, not even realizing like, no, you're
all
just
10
the
of my
guy
friends
there.
Are sleeping
yeah,
with me.
Exactly. What else do we have here? I mean, are there any really other stories to touch on? It seemed like Wendell and Kellen had good episodes. Dez had a little bit, she was kind of the one who like brought up the idea of let's get rid of, you know, Libby. Libby and Jenna had a little bit of stuff. Jenna was saying that it feels like she has a little bit of power. Michael had a good episode. He could still pull this thing out. He still has his idol. He's really got no target. And the girls are even saying like, hey, you'll never need an excuse to be like, hey, Michael needs to get voted out. But Libby, you need to convince some people. I think that speaks to like the way Michael's playing this game is that he's the biggest guy, but they're still like not that worried that they can't get rid of him at any time. And by him having that idol, that's really good. He doesn't have a very solid alliance, but he has an idol.
Yeah, you brought up a good point. With Michael especially. I mean, I wasn't too nervous for him just because he had this idol and because he's assimilated very, very well into this like Dez, Chelsea, Kellen kind of group. But what's interesting about Libby, and this is one thing that I kind of forgot to bring up, when Donathan was talking to Dom and saying, "Hey, just so you know, like we're gonna vote out Chris," Dom was like, "Great, I'm gonna go talk to Jenna and Libby." And Donathan almost jumped out of his skin, telling him not to do that.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? He was like, "Oh, they're kind of shifty. Just don't speak to them." That was very odd to me.
It is odd. And I don't know. I don't know where Donathan's head's at, because Donathan was so huge in the beginning of the season. And then he kind of like backed off. And now where does his loyalty lie? I really don't know. Yeah. So for him to just be like,
and since when are Jenna and Libby sketchballs? Like, where, that's news to me.
They didn't even play together. Like for like the most of the game. They haven't been together on the same tribe since what, day six? Yeah,
they're all picking banana Laffy Taffy out of each other's hair. Like, I don't know what's going on with them.
Also, Sebastian's thing at Tribal Council was absolutely hilarious.
Well, when he said douche, or when they cut to his face and he was dead?
No, when they were, well, that, but then when they were when he was talking about, you get on the boat and the guy might be a douche. And then you find out, you go and you get a beer with him and it's all different. It's like, Sebastian, you did not understand the question. Move on.
How I live my life, so Sebastian.
Sebastian's hilarious. I
get
love
on the boat, really. Maybe they're a douche, but then you get a beer and they're great. I want that.
He's amazing.
Need that honestly, on like an inspirational poster.
Honestly, the thing with Sebastian is there's not enough room for him on the show right now. Get him the Ponderosa as soon as possible, because he's going to – him and Chris and Ponderosa together, oh, man, that is just
going to be – I don't want Sebastian to go home, but I do, just so that we can get a really great like 7 to 10 minute Ponderosa of them hanging out.
Exactly, because the thing is like Sebastian's never going – he's not going to win. He's not the best strategic player, so they're not giving him that much screen time here on a season that's full of like huge characters. So just get him to Ponderosa where he can just eat it up and have his zany one-liners, and we can all have a great time.
I wonder if they're going to have Laffy Taffy at Ponderosa.
I mean, if they are, he's going to lose his mind. They're going to have to, like, I don't know, call the National Guard on him.
Why don't we go into MVP, LVP?
Yeah, so I'm, like, looking at the way the tribes are set up, and now that the whole Joe Mena threat is gone, Alexa, you can exhale, let it out. Chris is gone, so there's no way Joe's going to end up catching you. You can take a deep breath. Poor Joe. He had to come on right before this happened.
I can give him an extra stab right now. I'm going to give LVP to Angela. I mean, she was one of two people who voted incorrectly. Her apparent number one ally, who she ended up maybe but not really voting with, went home. She was all in on this Navidi thing. But even Kellen, who's like the queen of Navidi, ended up voting for Chris. So Angela was led astray and believed it. She's really not involved in any conversations. Angela takes the LVP. And I'm going to just give Joe Mena the extra twist of the knife on that one.
I do think that she is LVP, though, because I think Dez's vote might have been strategic. It might have been, hey, what if a random vote goes to Wendell, or what if a random vote goes to one of us? Let's make sure there's two votes put on them. So they knew Angela was going to do it. I don't think the Angela one, though, was strategic, because she would never vote for Chris. So I do think, though, that the Dez one had potential. So that's why I said that. I'm looking at the way this is shaping up, though, between Vaughn, you, and myself. I think your three favorites to win are Dominic, Wendell, and Kellen, and we each have one of them. And I think
that's
really
good.
That's really good. I have Dez and Libby. You have Donovan, Jenna, and Laurel, and Vaughn has Michael, Sebastian, and Chelsea. So we both have, like, we all have people who could, like, go to the end. We have, like, Vaughn probably has the two best in Dominic and Michael. He has, like, the strongest top two. I guess Wendell and Donovan could be up there, but I don't know if Donovan could pull off the win like Michael could. But it is interesting that those are the three that we have left here with Kellen, Wendell, and Dominic. So,
yeah,
you know.
I mean, I guess just for the third week in a row, I'm going to pitch Wendell as the MVP. Oh, good. I have 100 points and Joe has 82 points. I just logged in.
Mm-hmm. That I haven't updated mine yet, so don't think
way
that
more. Yeah, but I have 18 points on Joe. That was getting a little dicey at one point. I'm going to give it to Wendell again. He first of all, attempted to bridge the gap between Dominic and Chris. He tried to make this an Navidi thing. When it didn't work, he didn't panic. When everyone except for him and Dominic, who's like also kind of target number one at that point, are off at the well. He did not freak out. He kept it cool. He kept it calm, kept it collected. Told Dom he has an idol, which I don't love, but I assumed that was going to happen. And he didn't play that idol. He knew going into it, Chris was going to go home. I think Wendell has handled now being in a target position. He's handled that very, very well. And he hasn't really been an outward target yet. I think he handled that very effortlessly tonight. And I think Wendell's an easy MVP.
Yeah, I would say the only other one who could be MVP is Dom because of just because like he got rid of like Chris is gone. I mean, what more? Like that's like how I kept saying Joe should have been MVP so many times last year because like the game that he is playing is keeping him in the game. He is doing this purposely and it's working. Like you have to look past the fact that it might not be great gameplay to win, but it's gameplay that is getting him further in this game and giving him a chance. I think that's like Dom tonight. His one goal was to get rid of Chris, and it happened. You know, it's the whole Russell Hanser argument. All Sandra wanted to do was get rid of Russell. How could she be the best player ever? Like, that is pretty much what Dom did tonight. It was he just wanted to get rid of Chris, and he actually did get rid of Chris. So I think that Dom could be an MVP. And I mean, since I want to throw somebody from my team, I'll throw Kellen out there. I mean, Kellen –
she won individual immunity.
She won individual immunity, and she's in a really good – I mean, she's in a really good spot because she's not Chris or Dom or Wendell. Like, you know, she's not a huge – threat. She doesn't look, even though she won the first individual immunity, nobody's gonna look and be like, Wendell's so good at challenges. She'd be like, she got lucky once, who cares? So nobody's looking at her. The three girls listened to her. They were ready to do whatever she asked. It seems like she could have gone either way with the Dom or Chris thing. And it seems like she still has a very vocal part in it. So I would say that she could still be MVP. I'd say it has to be one of those three though.
Yeah, there's a handful of MVPs floating around on this episode. And like you said, I mean, I feel like again, whenever we draft our fantasy teams, there's always one outlier as like the big time winner and the big time loser. But they seem to have evened out. I mean, I had a rough premiere night. Mm-hmm. And then you lost James, Brendan, Morgan early on, 70 Johnson and Bradley for Vaughn, and then just Chris for Jomaina. It's kind of evening out now.
It is pretty even. And if you look at like how it's shaped up, it's like Chelsea could easily go next week, Jenna. You know, Michael could go at any time, Desiree, Libby, like we all have people who can easily go. And then we all have like one person who seems like a front runner. So I think this might be the most even we've ever done. You know why?
Why?
Because we snaked the draft.
Always snake the draft.
We finally snaked the draft.
And how many years later, we finally did it.
We finally snaked the draft and we actually have even teams. It's crazy.
What a time to be alive.
Who would have thunk it?
Wow. What a world we live in.
All right. You want to jump over to comments?
Yeah, let's do it.
Chris also thinks he should be MVP for the rap he did. Chris, if you're still in the game, I would have given you MVP for the rap. But the problem is we can't give MVP or LVP to somebody who got voted out. So
I know. I need to watch Chris's Ponderosa. I've been texting our intern Robert while I have also been listening to you. And he's been telling me to watch his Ponderosa. He said, quote, "It is certainly unique."
I just want to laugh and say you just referred to our intern on the podcast, and that is also the first time I heard his name.
His name is Intern Robert.
That's hilarious.
It might be Rob. I should clarify that. I know you're listening right now, so I have you as Robert. But if you want to be Rob or Robbie or Bob or whatever, hit us up.
Hit us up. All right. Anyway,
you come in pledge.
What?
I like intern.
Let's do some comments. I'll start with this first one from Charles McDavid. T-shirts in yet, and then a picture of bread.
Yeah, what was the bread?
Probably money.
Is that money?
Definitely.
I love bread and money.
Chris is asking you to watch this now. Should we
put it on? Okay, Chris, I promise I'll watch it as soon as we wrap up.
It's going to be too long. As soon as this is over, though, I'm turning it on.
Guys are great.
Are the T-shirts in yet? They're not yet, but... some point.
Yeah, we got to do that. Honestly, that will likely be an off-season project, but I mean, spoiler alert, we're trying to make t-shirts for you guys. We're trying to make like maybe some mugs. I've seen phone cases. I don't know if anybody's like that into us, but if that'd you are, weird. Buy your phone case. I feel like it'd be weird if we had a phone case of our Bitmojis on an island, but hey, if that's what you're into, we'll do it. Love mugs, love t-shirts. But yeah, I mean, likely that'll be an off-season project. We have a very long off-season, and I'll probably have a little more free time then, and Phil might have some free time too, considering a situation you'll be going through.
Yeah.
So yeah, to be determined, but also bread emoji.
Phil's voice is going to sound a lot different come July and August. Yeah, so.
Phil's having an invasive surgery.
Yeah, it's not going to be fun. Now everybody's going to be like, what the hell? But anyway, way to make it public, Alexa. My mom doesn't even know.
Sorry, Mom. Hope you're not listening.
Well, the rumors that are coming out of this, it's a tonsillectomy, but hey. The rumors that would have
come out. That sounds so scary.
Doesn't it? Anyway, so Island Living. If Chris gets voted out, he is in the club with Nick Mariano for never going to tribal and first tribal getting voted off. Pert plus with Nick just brushing his hair.
It's a
fantastic.
Nick is the most memeable. Like he's or gifable, memeable, whatever.
Whichever, doesn't matter. It's hilarious.
Meme of himself. Upside down Jake Conley. Survivor Specialist, did you guys see Donathan's face when he told Dominic they could blindside Chris? He looked excited. Yeah, there was some adrenaline.
He was pumped. He was stoked.
Damn.
We definitely didn't see how Donathan really felt about Chris. That's for sure.
No, we got the like the lovey-dovey moment, but I'm sure that wasn't the only moment.
Joe Haas, I knew Chris would be a goon, but he was more game savvy than I thought. He was game savvy. He just played he should have played his idol tonight. If he plays his idol tonight, you're sitting there going, wow, Chris is still in the game. He played an idol correctly. He got every single vote, but hey, now he's going to be woken up to it. Like he's going to be ready to go. He knows that he can't trust a single person. And now he's going to have to make some real arguments. And I think he would have been able to make some solid arguments if he survived tonight. Like, guys, what's going on here?
If Chris plays that idol, I would probably be writing my second MVP spotlight of Chris. Seriously. Things I never thought I'd say.
Seriously.
Giovanni Oriano, despite this being spoiled for me because of CBS uploading video early, is one of my favorite episodes of Survivor ever. I did not hear about that. I watched on the West Coast stream tonight, so I was like super off the grid. But I assumed that CBS learned their lesson after the Bradley situation.
Oh my god, the Bradley situation.
I would have assumed, but I also very well could be wrong about that.
I really want to ask Bradley like what he thought about that. Like, of course, on his episode, that happens.
That was absolutely wild. And this is like I'm going a real sidebar here. Phil, do you watch Westworld at all?
I do.
So the entire season 2 synopsis was spoiled by the producers earlier this week.
What?
So they did I hope this isn't true and I hope they're just trolling us. They did like an Ask Me Anything on like the Westworld Reddit and they were like, hey guys, if you get like a whatever many upvotes, like we'll spoil the entire season for you. And so Reddit being Reddit was like, okay, great. And upvoted it. They posted this 25-minute video that I haven't watched of apparently the entire synopsis start to finish of season 2. And
that's insane.
I feel like they spoiled it to like prevent spoilers. And so it's just absurd that like HBO, CBS, like this is happening. It makes no sense to me.
Well, I'm hoping that was a lie. It's pretty hard to say you're lying when it's literally a picture of Bradley with his torch being snuffed.
Yeah. Like jokes on you guys.
Got him. Joe Haas, Wendell's vote confessional is the second best vote confessional behind Crystal voting for Randy and the Bone. I could get behind that. Definitely going to be the most memorable.
When Dominic said Chris Noble, like that was pretty funny too.
Yeah, that was really funny.
Yeah,
I mean, but that's not on the level. Wendell's was just like, I'm so frustrated. Please leave me alone. All right, what else we got here?
Giovanni Oriana, say what you want to say about Drew Christie, but he got to vote.
Yeah, I mean, Chris and Drew Christie aren't the same type.
They're extremely different.
Yeah, Gamer Girl, is Chris the most underrated character of the season? I mean, I think people really loved him. I think he got a lot of hate preseason, and I think early on he got a lot of hate, but I think that people started to grow to like him. I mean, he seemed, granted, we weren't on the island with him. I don't know what he was like on the island. 10 people just voted for him tonight. But to me, he was harmless fun. He was great TV. He was never going to win the game, but he was a lot of fun. And I enjoyed watching him. So I was a fan that I didn't think I was going to be a fan before the season either.
Chris was fantastic. I'm very upset that he's not going to be on our TV anymore.
Yeah. I mean, Joe Mann is probably like holding like a little funeral with like just Chris's photo right now.
Yeah, with his phone that is out of batteries.
Seriously.
Gamer Girl, why was that JT's Game Changers idol not as hidden Heroes versus Villains idol? JT's Heroes versus Villains idol is more cursed, in my opinion. I think that's significantly more cursed. I don't know why they're not doing that.
I think honestly, because Okay. I think that the game changer, I don't think the idol for JT was as popular as the note. And I know the note is like on a mantle that Russell Hance has like in his house. And I know CBS doesn't want to talk to Russell Hance anymore. So mm-hmm. I think that's why you couldn't get the note. So why would they do the idol? The idol, nobody remembers what the idol looked like. Everybody remembers the note. So
yeah, but I don't remember what his game changer's idol looks like.
Yeah, but it was so recent that I think that they could just be like, oh, yeah. Like if you actually think about it, the idol that JT gave away was played correctly.
Yeah.
Shot by him.
I was going to say, you beat me to it. I was going to say they just don't. I don't think they want any reference to Russell ever existing ever.
That's probably true. That's I mean, for all take. That he did for the show, if it wasn't for Russell's show, probably still wouldn't be on the air. But I do think that there's now like a lot of like, oh my God, this guy. Anyway, was anyone a gamer girl? Was anyone else expecting everyone who had an idol to play their idols at the tribal? There was no way Michael was playing his. I'm just really surprised. And Wendell wasn't going to play his either. Wendell was confident. I'm pretty sure Wendell knew it was coming down to Dom or Chris, and he wasn't going to get the vote. So Wendell was confident.
There's a lot of these. Heroes vs. Villains idol. We got a couple of those. Hashtag Island Living. Do you honestly think, as much as Dom doesn't sleep at night, that Chris snuck away to go sound free and clear? I have a hard time believing nobody missed Chris all night, especially Dom. Mm-hmm. That's true. Dom and Chris have apparently been like staring at each other for 22 straight nights. So anyway, you know, he did let one kind of slip under the rug there.
He did. He did.
How dare he sleep?
I'm really curious to see how that went down, because I know people like get like some serious insomnia out there. So I'm really curious how that went down. I'm sure we'll get like a play by play from Jeff and his like questions with Dalton Ross or something. We're going to get something.
Yeah.
Island Living. So does Chris getting voted off with an idol mean more hubris or thinking he's the next Rico Suave? I do like that he kept saying Suave. That was fun.
Oh, instead of that just was amazing. Suave. Just put the accent on the E at the end of Suave. I love it.
Let's see. Island Living. So smart of Kellen to not get into the Bradley vote off and let the two men go at each other. Plus, she won the immunity challenge. She could sit out, watch or create chaos among others, plant seeds of doubt wherever she can. Yeah, this is a great. I mean, you always want to have
an excellent point.
Yeah, you always want to have the immunity necklace too at the first thing after the merge. I mean, mm-hmm. it's the one time. I think that is, aside from the old school being able to have it at Final Three, I think that is the most important time to have it is the first vote of the merge, because it's just insane. Like, anything can happen, and we see it all the time. Like, Chris just went home, but last year it was Jessica, and, you know, the one before that was
Haley.
It was Haley, and the one before that was Michelle, and, you know, you could just keep going. I mean, the one before that was Neil getting medevaced, so that doesn't really count. That's not as fun. But who was it in Second Chances? I don't remember that one. But then it was Kelly in Worlds Apart. You know,
it was Savage because Kelly Wentworth idled him out, right?
Savage was the first member of the jury in that season.
I mean, I feel like there were a million people at the tribal council.
It's true. Maybe he was. I can't remember.
I don't remember either.
But that's just
what was I going to say?
Like it's such a crapshoot of who it could be. It could literally be anybody. That is the one tribal council that you absolutely must have immunity.
Yeah. And that's one where there are a lot of lines drawn in the sand. And I can't really think of a situation where there's this like big crazy vote out and everyone's like, do you know whose fault it is? The person who won individual immunity. Like, that's just not the way that it falls.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. JP, so who do you believe is all with who going into next week? I have no idea.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about it in the predictions. We still aren't
intern
any clearer.
Robert, Pledge Robert just texted me. Cass was the first jury member in Second
That's what
Chances.
I thought. Because then then Savage got voted out and Savage had to go hang out with Cass. That's what I thought. So it's always a crapshoot. I knew it wasn't. Thing. It didn't feel right that it was Savage. I was like, I feel like it wasn't, but I totally forgot that it was Cass. I like how if you look at
like
the live chat.
Oh, it was live chat, like telling us how
to watch. I was like blowing.
Oh,
up.
Just like gas.
Let's see here. We have let's jump up here to Ethan. The season is so unique because there's so many people that have the ability to be brought back. It's amazing. And the thing is, they all have a ability to be brought back for way different reasons. So,
true. Where do I go from here?
I mean, I'm living with the picture of Sebastian.
it's got my favorite emoji/ like not really emoji of all time, but like the shruggy face. Yeah,
shruggy.
He looks like he's on. I understand this is a family friendly podcast, but Troy Zander's here a couple weeks ago. heavily on drugs.
Well, let's talk to him.
Sebastian looks like he's on drugs. Just want to put that
in. Yeah, exactly. He really does. And also, Joe was dropping a couple F-bombs here and there last week. So what are we talking about? You know, it's a family podcast until you get the survivors. And then we just have no control.
Yeah, and then it's like, oh my God, we can't correct you because you're so much more important than us.
We need to have Sunday on every single podcast so we can keep it a cursing-free podcast.
What did Brett call it? The hand of God?
Yeah, and Soda Pop Sunday. We got to have Soda Pop Sunday.
Oh my God, so funny.
The hand of God. Brett kills me.
Here, you read this next one.
Oh my God, what? So maybe Phil should say my name since Alex is having trouble? I'm not saying his name.
I know. Well, that's the thing. I didn't have trouble. I read 3/4 of the way there, and I was like, I don't know if this is appropriate or not.
Well, just say hit me. How would the two of you fare in that immunity challenge? I'm surprised people lasted as long as they did in terms of like the half hour and like that long. That seemed like a really long time. And the wind was blowing, and it seemed like it was just easy for that stuff to go down.
Yeah, I feel like that's one that they made it seem like it lasted really long, but halfway through they were like, it's been 4 minutes. And
yeah, exactly. That was it.
JP, so crazy that tribal tonight. Do you feel like this season we finally get seen Idol get found at tribal council? My God, I hope so. I want that.
When was that talked about? Wasn't that supposed to happen?
Game changers.
And it never happened.
Never happened. Which maybe they didn't do it. Like maybe Jeff is like hyping us up. Because I remember after, which was it, Game Changers, when Jeff was like, oh, by the way, in case the final tribal council goes to a tie, here's what happens. And we were all like, okay, HHH goes to a tie. That's the way it works. I think like the idol being planted at a tribal will happen. I don't think it happened and nobody found it. Like I think if it happened, someone definitely would have found it.
Somebody has to find it, yeah. Nicholas Boer. So there's going to be a 10-person jury this year. Also hear Laurel say in the preview next week, Wendell Dom power growing. I think we could see a Dez, Kellen, Laurel, Chelsea girl alliance. They almost were a voting block tonight. Thoughts? And then good night.
Good night, Nick.
I think that the Navidi girls do want to stay together. And then Laurel could jump in on that and – it seems like Laurel has a lot of options here. Like Laurel's in a fantastic spot. Yeah, she's in a really good spot. I'm watching now, she'll get voted out. But it seems like she has a lot of options. It could go any which way. But it does seem like the Navidi girls want to stay strong. But then Chris goes home tonight and you're 8 people in, and all of a sudden it's just 5-3 in terms of Malolo to Navidi's going home. And it used to be what, 5-1. Now you've had two Navidis go back to back, and could this turn into a situation like a Token Chains where it's like you just keep letting them hang around, and the next thing you know, Aaron's the last remaining person from Jollipow or whatever it is, and you're like, what the hell happened? Tyson and Coach were running this game, and Brendan, and what is going on? So, yeah, I don't know. And then last comment.
Cloud Noctis. Hey, Alex and Phil, do you think Michael's getting a winner's edit? My Alexa just got so triggered by that comment. I'm never really big on the winner's edit thing, but I think especially on a season where there's a lot of weird edits, I think the winner's edits are Kellen, Wendell, and Michael, and maybe Dominic. So yeah, I think Michael's up there.
Michael's up there. I don't know if he's going to pull it off. He feels like somebody's going to fall just short to me. Also, Cloud Noctis, good name. Most fun game, probably one of the most fun games I ever played. Horrible storyline, though. Really, really bad. I finally beat it. It's a terrible storyline. So if you have any thoughts on that, throw that my way, because I hated the storyline. Total side.
Tweet at Survivor Specialist.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll tell you what I actually I don't have my personal account anymore. I had to get rid of it.
No, saying you need a personal account.
I know. I got to delete the other thing from the annals of history.
Depths of the internet.
Seriously. But yeah, so that's all the comments we had tonight. Alexa, do your thing.
I'm going to do my thing. It's 1:05 a.m. and I am very tired. So we will be back this Sunday, probably at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, but we're going to clarify that with another guest who is to be determined. We're super excited about this guest because they have a connection to our next gifts after that, which is super exciting. So tune in this Sunday. We'll clarify the time once it's actually finalized. But in the meantime, comment on this video or email us, Facebook us, tweet us, call us, text us.
Don't call me. You can call her. Don't call me.
Call me. I will never put my phone number out in public, but that's neither here nor there. Contact us with who you think should be the MVP in the LVP of this episode. If you want to take one of our fantasy teams, go for it. We were just talking about how even they are. They really need to be broken up. Vote for MVP. I'll be writing an MVP spotlight of whoever wins this week's MVP. And we'll be back this Sunday. Wait,
hey.
What?
Alexa, we might have to do this. Chris just said, Phil, if you see my Ponderosa, it would make my night to see you guys reacting to it.
Should we like straight up watch this right now?
Can we like live watch this? Is this going to be weird?
Is it going to be weird if we do it at the same time? What do I do? Go to YouTube?
You go to Ponderosa CBS. So I guess this would be the part where if you're listening, you probably turn it off because you're just like, what the hell is going to happen after this?
Why don't we – I feel like us watching this like
it's going to be weird.
Kind of awkward. I'm trying to think of like we could videotape our reactions, but is that
also awkward? Weird. I don't know. Poor Chris over here.
Chris.
Wait, people want us to watch it. We have.
This is so weird.
Want us to watch it. Well, maybe I'll jump ahead of Alexa here and I'll watch it first.
But are we gonna hear each other?
No, you can't hear me, right? I'm watching
also,
it right now.
Can you message it to me? Can you group chat
message
it over?
It to you.
Yeah, I can't find it.
And this is what always happens. Phil has to do all the work.
It's 1:07 a.m. Yeah, Alexa does 99% of the work here.
It's 8 minutes and 24 seconds. It was playing. Oh, here we go.
Are you going to do this?
Oh, my God. Okay, I'm watching.
Here we go.
I was just watching him fake cry.
Interview with the latest caster to be voted off. Come on, CBS.com. What if this isn't Chris and this is just some rando who's like totally trolling us on this? I just got a Macy's commercial. This is a Macy's commercial. This is ridiculous. It's 22 seconds long.
Oh, wait. Okay, here's what we need. Alexa, don't watch the entire thing.
Hold on,
just watch
I'm watching a Clinique. Hold on, there's a Clinique commercial on right now.
Don't watch the whole thing. Just watch the rap. There's a 1 minute and 30 second rap.
Okay.
Oh my God! Hang on, I'm gonna send it to you.
Oh
right now.
My!
It's the second
God.
One. Oh my God!
This is a fun intro. Dr. Joe is so sarcastic. Does he rap after Dr. Joe? I'm
watching this. Oh my God. Alex, are you watching the music video?
Music video? I'm watching him talk to Dr. Joe.
Link I sent you.
Oh, you sent me. Oh, no, I was watching his Ponderosa.
Oh my God.
Wait, Phil, I don't think you sent me the right thing. You sent me a link to our live stream. Oh, that's his Ponderosa. Drops a dope new rap video. Oh my God.
So I'm going to be honest.
Chris goes skip to the juicy part and then does the wet emoji. I am pumped.
Oh, my God. So I just watched that entire thing. I just – I love the people. Dude, Alexa's bad at – that
– Yeah, I like that Alexa is bad at internet.
Alexa, you
– hold on. This commercial's – Alexa, shut up. This commercial's about to end. All right, please stand
right,
by.
Watch that. I'm just going to sit here. Turn it up so you can't hear me or something. I don't know. But I'll just say,
oh
my God.
Oh, my.
Anybody – is anybody
holy
familiar with John Lajoie? Because Chris, you could be the next John Lajoie. What bothers me is that you guys like, or that Chris probably wrote.
Wait, hold on. What in the? I can't believe this. Oh, who is massaging him?
That's what I want to know. Like there's like a guy, there's like a little like Fijian man like holding like a a mirror
Sammy
thing.
Sammy Sosa got to drop the reference.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
There's your slap happiness for the night.
Feel the burn when he hosed ya. Oh my god. With bottle service all day and he's holding condiments.
Vanaka.
That the best way to end that was him rhyming Fiji on the wrong beat when he said Fiji. That might have been the best thing I've ever watched. That was
amazing. Well, I'm going to watch the entire video at some point. But anybody who doesn't know Jean Lajoie, he's Taco from the league. Go watch, and granted, a lot of it is very offensive. So he was like one of the first, believe it or not, that guy was like one of the first YouTube stars. His music. His music videos for his songs, that's what Chris just did. And this guy became famous for being like a really bad white rapper. Chris, you're a
good
sport.
How could you possibly insult Chris like that? How could you insult Chris like that?
Hey, Donathan, and we stayed around long enough for Donathan to show up in the chat. Donathan, we did enjoy the episode, but what do you actually think about Chris's rap? That's what we want to know.
Oh,
I
want to
know what Donathan thinks about Chris's rap here.
I'm going to rewatch that probably 7 more times before I go to bed, and it's currently 1:12 a.m.
We're gonna have to like do an entire breakdown just of that.
We're going to have to bring this up on the Predictions podcast or just do a whole nother podcast about this.
Seriously. Oh, my God.
Wow.
That was amazing.
Chris, thank you so much for pushing us to do this. Because I wasn't going to watch it until tomorrow, and I am very happy that I have seen the light. There
you go. Now you know, Vanaka.
Vanaka.
Amazing.
Mic drop. All
right, at that point, since we dropped the mic, everybody go watch Chris's video. It's absolutely absurd. So now we're going to have to do like a Survivor-style March Madness tournament of what do we like more, Chris's rap or the Dragons? And Chris, I'm sorry, man, but Courtney's in the Dragons, so...
Tune in next week to find out.
Yeah.
We're going to have to tweet that out. Donathan loved the video. Wow. This is amazing. This is the greatest thing that's ever happened.
This is great.
This is so great. Oh my God. This is so great. Like, I wonder if that was Chris's idea or CBS's idea. Like, how did this go down?
I just like to think of Chris actually sitting down and writing that. Cause if you remember the Dragons and Heroes vs. Villains, Alexa, sorry to keep you up, but the Dragons here, they had like them writing like the lyrics and like, it was all serious. Like, they weren't just a made up band. Like, Coach was like the orchestra, you know, he was the orchestrator, my bad, but he's like that guy. And so like, did Chris like take like those 3 days to just sit down and write this entire thing and be like, guys, let's go. I mean, anytime they're down to do it. I mean, now we had Chris doing this rap and we got Courtney to pretend that she was like the lead singer in a band while JT just played drums. And I don't think he ever played drums in his life. Hilarious.
Yeah, this is amazing. And the perfect way to end this is my roommate who I share a wall with just texted me saying, to stop talking so loud. So I think I'm going to reply with just a link to Chris's video and be like, this is why I'm so loud at 1 a.m.
There you go. Also, tell her to not be so loud, okay? We hear her half the podcast.
That's an extremely good point.
I mean, tell her you'll be quiet when you don't have to yell over her half the time. hopefully she listens to this tomorrow and it brings you guys to a really big feud and makes your life a living hell.
We can all know.
But anyway, so... With that, let's let Alexa go to bed so she doesn't get yelled at, and I'm out of here.
Yeah, everyone, go watch Chris's video. We're going to tweet this link out because it's the best thing ever. Vote for MVP, LVP, but also just watch this video.
Just watch
Have a great night, everybody.
Bye.